fabulous job with that. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Thank you so much for singing. You made it. You know, sometimes it's hard to receive when people make, you know, they singing at you, you know. We're all that way a little bit, but thank you so much. I do appreciate that. And the text messages and the calls and the thoughtfulness. You know, thoughtfulness is so incredible, how far it goes. Sometimes when you get a card or you get a call or you get a text message from somebody and you go, I didn't even know they knew it was my birthday. But then you see it's all over Facebook. I don't know. But thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I'm just excited. My wife and my kids have made it all special. And I just can't figure out, though, because when it's their birthday, it's not like the birthday. It's gone from birthday week to birthday month. So if your birthday falls in that month, you get the whole celebration. I only got 2 days. I got last night and I get today to celebrate. Can't figure. I mean, but if you would, turn with me to the book of Colossians, and we're going to pick up there. We're sharing, as I mentioned, we're kind of doing a little bit of a fun demonstration here, and just sharing, but it's so true and so basic. But today we've been talking about getting the game. Who was the one that knew what today was? You, then you get to get in the game. Here's a little football for you, all right? Instead of a pack of gum. But one of the things, like, I look at the game of baseball. It's so hard to score runs. The whole idea of baseball is to outscore the other team. When a player, and what makes it so hard is they have four little squares that you have to touch in order to score runs. And a lot of times in the game of baseball, somebody can get a hit. They'll put it in play, and they might get to the first base. Does everybody know what first base is in baseball? It's the first bag you come to. You can be on first base. You may have gotten a hit as an individual. You may have done your best, and you put the ball in play, and you got on that base. But if you don't have somebody else hitting the ball also to put it in play, you're still stuck on base, right? Somebody, if they get three outs, you get no runs. You may have got on base. You may have done a job, but there's no effectiveness, or the inning was lost because you didn't get any runs on the board. Does that make sense? And so you need the people behind you to at least try to get the hit or put the ball in play or get a walk so that if they get on base, you get to go from first to second. Sometimes you can get a hit and maybe you get two bases or you get three bases. But if you don't get the next hit, you don't get any points. You don't get any score if you don't get to home plate. And in church life and in ministries and a lot of other things in life, you can do your job, but you need other people to do their job also. And that's what's called teamwork, because that produces runs. That produces effectiveness. And I shared this a few weeks ago. In football and coaching football and team play, everybody has a place to play, and they have an important role. And on my son's football team, they got a young guy who plays soccer all his life, and he's a pretty good kicker. You know, when you get the ball, you just kick it, you know, like that. It's not going to hurt you. I was putting a ball in play. All right? But here's a key factor about kicking, and there's two kicking parts of the game. There's one where they kick for extra points or field goals, and it's worth points. But when you are, if you don't get a first down and you can't make a play, you can kind of position yourself. And what they do is you say, well, we're going to punt the ball, and that's what I just did. Punt the ball to the other team, and they get the ball, but they're not going to get it close to the goal line. They're going to get it far away. Does everybody understand that? Sounds simple, doesn't it? And so what they do is they have a center, and he kicks the ball like that, and he caught it. I thought he wasn't going to catch it. And so he goes like this, and he throws it out there, right? Did she catch it? Well, here's the problem with the new kicker that they have. Everybody goes, oh, this guy can kick the ball. Can we use him? Okay, let's take a look at him. This guy can kick the ball. And so here you go. You get the ball, and you snap it, and all of a sudden he's going to catch the ball. He doesn't know how to catch the ball. Does everybody understand? He might be able to kick it with his foot, but if he doesn't catch it, your down is over, and they're going to get the ball close to the goal line. So there's so many aspects, and people keep going, well, you know, hey, put him in at the kick. Well, if he can't catch the ball, I got to go with the guy who can't kick as good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm going to use the person who can at least catch the ball first and then kick it in order to be, I may only get the ball, I may only change position, they call it, from here to there. Maybe I won't get it three times as far, but at least I changed position, because you got to be able to do the first step before you can do the second and third step. Does everybody understand that? It's the same thing in every sport. In baseball, there's so many complications. And John Maxwell was really one of the first guys to start relating it and comparing it to the church and ministries, that if people don't do some of the things they need to do and be willing to do some of those things and do things that people don't see, you're not going to be able to get the other results. Amen. And so we're in a series, we're talking, and I continued it because, one, I didn't finish the first week. Could have done it all in 1 week. But two, there's people who are sick. There's people who have to work. There's people who are on vacation. So it takes about 3 or 4 weeks to get the whole message across to everybody to be able to hear it. And so we want you to be able to go afterwards outside. Take a look at some things. Look at some of the things that are happening. That's not even everything that's happening here. There's other things. And there's other opportunities. For example, the food ministry or the Samaritan Way. Is a ministry where we try to provide food, where we try to give out clothing. You know, things that we get, we want to be able to give away. Some of you, I mentioned a couple of months ago about the Marriott and some of the furniture. It hasn't come in yet. We still are believing that that's coming. Maybe you're not praying hard enough to get that breakthrough just yet. But when it comes, I'll give it to you. But again, somebody's got to coordinate. Somebody's going to say, you know what? Pastor, you pick it up, and Pastor, you deliver it, and Pastor, you rent the truck, and Pastor, you make sure I can get it to my house, and then can you have 3 more guys, Pastor, to help me carry it into my house? Forget it. I'll put it in the dumpster first. There has to be some people to connect it, and the same thing happens. Like, I did get a couple text messages about, okay, we know we get food every month. You know, we get food on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and Olga and Pastor Terry and Martha and Lisa and Christy, what we've been doing is we try to make up trays of food that we get. This is already cooked food. It's kind of a meal for the day. We give it. We'll call you. We'll call other people. If you want it, fine. If you don't want it, that's not a problem. We'll give it to somebody. But there's always somebody who needs to say, hey, can you stop? Like Reverend Bobby will stop and pick up some of it and take it to some of the people she works with. But it'd be great to have somebody to just say, you know what? I'll take that one step and come over for an hour, put the stuff together, wrap it up, and deliver it. And it'll take you an hour to do it. I mean, it takes those types of people fitting in and doing some things. But it's there to happen. And you know, a lot of times you'll get called, and people will call me at 10 o'clock at night and want to know, is there food today? Or can you meet me tomorrow, Pastor? And I'm going, well, my wife puts it so good, so well, I guess is the word to use, when she says, if you're sick and you need to go to the doctors, and you call the doctor and you need an appointment, what's he going to tell you? Is he going to say, I'll meet you Sunday at 1 o'clock? Oh, what? Come on in right now. You make an appointment and they'll tell you, you know what? I have next Wednesday at 9. You're going, but I'm sick today. Hello? You make an appointment when you need something, don't you? But when it comes to God, we just want him to move when we need him to move, how we want him to move. Hello? Come on. Am I right? Yes or no? I'm just trying to help you to understand. You know what? If you need food and our food comes on Friday mornings between midday, you want it Saturday or you want it Friday night, I can't help you there. The appointment time is Friday midday to 5 o'clock. Send somebody. Hello? Hello? I'm just telling you, that's when we get it. Now, if Brother Sam, who's who's in charge and he's been working that, and you're part of that team, he might have somebody and say, you know what, Saturday we'll be here from 10 to 11. What's that mean? Come on, you can help me. If he has, says, I have somebody here Saturday from 10 to 11, what does that mean? Do you come at 11:15 and wonder where the food is? No, it means they're going to be gone by 11 o'clock. Well, I was there, Pastor. But he needs some people to be able to help him with that. See, the more he gets help, the more times he can make available, right? The more opportunities, the more things, the more that can happen that way. And the reason I share all that is this. There's ways that you can impact others very simply by being in position or being helpful or being the center that snaps the ball or being the punter. That might be the only time you're called once a game. You may never be called to get the ball out of your zone. But get good at it, what you do, be able to impact everybody else. Does it make sense? Say amen. All right, that means you're following me. So I'm looking for people to say, Pastor, this is our whole purpose. I want to do something to make us better. I want to do something to make the kingdom of God better. I want to be involved, whether it's helping young men or helping young ladies or being involved with youth ministry. They got 56 kids going to be, I think their max is 60, that they're going to be taking on a retreat for the weekend. You know what that'll be like? No sleep for 2 days. Amen. We like to make it exciting. You got to have people. You got to have adults for every 4 kids. You got to have, you know, there's all kinds of things you got to have. Then you want people that are going to help with the setup. You want people to help with prayer. You want people to be able to minister because there's going to be a question. There's going to be a door that's going to open up. And who's going to be there? And one person can't minister to 60 at one time. God does it, but it's impossible, and you need that help to be there. And so we're looking for people to say, you know what, I'll pray. Or as Pastor Jim has done it, there's people who say, you know what, I'll help by giving financially to be able to make it successful. And there's some that will do worship, and there's some that will be speaking. You know, it's funny, I've been meaning to say this. Reverend Weasel's his name, he's an American Indian. And last year, when I was at pastor school, I was sitting... Brother Isaac was with me, and I'm trying to remember who, Blair Karens and John, I think, right? I'm trying to remember. We were sitting. Remember, you were all worried about where you're going to seat, and then all of a sudden, they said, no, you were Pastor Tino, and they brought you right on up, and we were sitting up in row 3, and I'm sitting next to a guy, and we're talking, and his name is John Weasel. How you doing, Weasel? And his father was there, and then we started talking, and how we know them, they were really big and involved with American Indian Youth Camp that we go to every year. I didn't know I was sitting next to him. And then he calls Pastor Jim on his phone, or I called you somehow, and we're like, hey, look who I'm talking to. And he's like, he's speaking at our youth retreat, and I'm sitting right next to the guy. I mean, it was pretty incredible how God put that all together. Amen? But I'm sharing all this for you, that when you give God opportunity, he's going to use you. And I'm looking for people today to say, Pastor, I want to do something for the kingdom. How many people want to do something for the kingdom? Just something, one little thing. Come on, raise your hand high. If you're raising your hand, I got a gift for you. I got a gift for you. You want to get involved in the kingdom, I got a gift for you. I got a gift for you. You look like you need sunglasses with that outfit today. You need to get involved in the youth. There you go. There. You're going to pray for them or something, all right? Who else wants to get involved? I know I got to give it there. I know you are all the way over there. Now I'm really looking to see who can catch. Oh! See, I didn't throw. You can get involved too. She didn't raise her hand. Look, he's got his hand up high. Look at that right there, okay? Look, I'm a pretty good accurate thrower, aren't I? Did I make you nervous? I made you nervous? I would never make you nervous. Come on. Who else? I need somebody else over here. Was your hand up? Is it? Let me see. Okay, there you go. You get some cool sunglasses too. Amen. But hey, look, it's about getting in the game. It's about doing something. It could be prayer. Listen, one of the things we want to be able to do is at least get some of the information from you so that when somebody will call you, and just start talking to you. You know, you want to be able to tell them where your heart is. A lot of times, where your heart is may not be exactly the need that needs to be filled, but if your heart is right, you can make a difference. And what I have found is God will give you or open up doors for your desires that might be 10 years down the road, might be 20 years down the road, might be 1 year down the road. I don't know, but I believe with all my heart, God puts inside of us, births inside of us, things for the kingdom, passions for the kingdom to make a difference. And what I have found is that if you'll give God the opportunity, He will use you to make a difference in somebody's life. Amen? Turn to Colossians chapter 1, and I just want to look there quickly. I'm going to highlight a little bit from last week. And then we want to give you opportunity this week and next week. And I'm going to tell you, wear your jersey next week. Wear your Trinity Girls shirt. All the Trinity Girls in the house, give a big hand of applause or a cheer. Colossians, what happened? Colossians 1. He says, listen, verse 9, he says, for this cause, underline the word cause. Just write that down, keep that, you should have that. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray and make requests for you. He's speaking not just to the Colossians, he's speaking to you, the church, that you may be filled with knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, increasing in who He is, what God wants to do, strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory, unto all patience and long-suffering with joy. I don't know about you, is there ever, with patience and long-suffering, is there ever joy in it? Most people, when they've dealt with something for a long time, get very irritable. Look at your neighbor and say, you're irritable today or no? Hello? Have you ever noticed it's in those things, it's in those opportunities. Most of the time, I find people, when it's long, when patience is being tried, you ever heard of mothers talking about, you're trying my patience? She's not joyful, is she? But he's saying, listen, you can have joy in that. So give thanks unto the Father who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You've been given the privilege to be a partaker. Partaker in the promise. You know what you're partakers of? In this thing right here, the church itself. You get to be part of something that's amazing, great, incredible. You know, I look at people and I talk to people and they may ask me or, you know, a lot of times, I won't tell people what I do until they specifically ask me. I'll kind of wait. I want to feel people out. It's just my way of getting to know individuals. And then when they find out I'm a pastor, they say, no way, that's not true. They think I should be doing something else. There's a reason I went into ministry. There was things that I saw happen. And I'll tell you, one of the things was this, that I got the opportunity to let God use me to impact somebody else. The bottom line, the reason I'm in church, the reason I'm a pastor, the reason I'm here is because God has done something in my life and I get the opportunity to let God use me to do something that I could never do. And that is impact somebody. The greatest reward that I ever have is to be able to touch somebody or to see somebody's life change. And I didn't have anything to do with it. I was just the instrument God used. Amen. Hello? You get the opportunity to be part of something greater. And the reason you may not see it is you don't give God something to work. You have to give God something to work with. Somebody say, give God something to work with. It's time. It's opportunity. And so he says, he's delivered you and I out of darkness. He's translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of? He said, listen, you've been redeemed. You've been bought with a price. You've been given a new life. You are in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were all things created. Who created him and why were they created? By who? Him, right? And in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things unseen. Turn around. Can you see your neighbor right now? You see somebody there? He said, look, whether they're thrones, dominions, or principality, principles, or powers, all things have been created through him and unto him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Look, everything. The reason you are here is because you are in him, and it's by him, and it's for him that you are positioned where you're at. Amen. Did I leave my little note? And so we kind of talked about how to position ourselves, how to be used by God. That is the whole thing. That's the whole reason we're here today, is to figure out, understand, what can I do to impact the kingdom? And everybody said amen, right? And so last week we talked about one of the key ways, a key factor to impacting the kingdom, and this is what we're talking about, is A, be available. Come on, say, I'm available, God. Now, say, I'm available, Pastor. I'm looking at your lips to see if you're moving them or you're truly available. One of the things I've found is a lot of people will say, yes, I'll do it. I'll do anything. But in order to be able to say yes and to be able to be available, you have to do a couple of key things, and that is change your schedule. Hello? Somebody say, change your schedule. If you want to be available, you're going to have so many other things that are going to interrupt your schedule. But schedule says what's important. Hello? Schedule says what's important. Schedule says what's important. Schedule says what's important. Your schedule says what's important. If you're late all the time, it says it's not that important. If you forget all the time, it says it's not that important. One of the dramatic things, and I think I told you this before, for me was my dad would tell me he's going to meet me at a certain time when I was a little boy. Tell me he's going to meet me a certain time. I'll be there. Be ready at 6. And I couldn't wait because my parents were separated. They weren't in the house. You know, it wasn't together. And so I cherished those times. And so if he said 6 o'clock, guess what? As a little boy, I was there at 5:45. I was waiting. And he wouldn't show up sometimes. And sometimes if he did, it'd be maybe 30, 40, 50 minutes, an hour and a half later. Schedule. It's important to be available. To make yourself available. And sometimes when you make yourself available, you got to wait on other people. Or you got to wait on things to change. I want you to understand, things happen. There's certain strategic things that happen in your walk and in the kingdom of God that will remind you or change you forever. Does everybody understand that? I can remember as a little boy being in a prayer meeting. And all of a sudden, I mean, I was all over the place, but we were there. My mother took us there. We were there all the time. Whenever there was prayer, it didn't matter if we were in the back and they were in the front singing. You know, if there was 2 people, if there was 200 people. But we were there. And one time, I was moving around so quickly, I'll never forget it. And this man of God reached out, and when I was going by, and he laid hands on me. I don't know if he punched me or if he naturally laid hands, but I was out in the spirit for a while. But I remembered it. It touched me. And I felt the presence of God. There's been times that I was at youth camp. There's been times where I can tell you my wife and I laid out over here, and it was an incredible move of that it was life-changing for us. I can remember when the Australians came here, probably, I don't even remember what year it was. You remember? 2000, I think it was in 2000. And I'll never forget, I was sharing with the group on Wednesday night. And the reason I share that with you, because I believe that there are certain times that will be monumental to you and your walk with Christ. And you can miss those if you don't take advantage of those. If you don't set time for those. or if you don't receive that call, or you don't make adjust your schedule. And what I share with you, when you begin to look at all the miracles that Christ has done over in the Scripture, it wasn't like he said, let's go to Bethany today, we're going to do it. He's on the journey, and all of a sudden, somebody always interrupted his day. But in general, he was already there to go about doing and healing and doing miracles in the people of God. But they came up and they tug on the back of his garment. They came up and they said, listen, you know, hey, my son is sick, or you know, my servant is sick, or can you touch my mother-in-law, or whatever it might have been. There was an interruption, and it was in that miracles took place. So I'm here to tell you, it's not going to always go as you planned it. But when the Australians came and they were coming in to do a big ministry at the mall, they were singing down there. There was this big outreach that was happening. They were leading worship and they were staying in a church in Virginia Beach because they had a connection there. But they didn't realize that when you come to America, that it might look like Richmond or Virginia Beach is close to being near the mall. And it's like somebody saying, I remember we were talking about this the other day. If you've ever seen the old movie the musical Fiddler on the Roof, at the very end, the two friends are talking. They say, "Oh, I'm going to America," and he's like, "You're going to America too? Wonderful! I'm going to be in New York." He said, "I'm going to be in Chicago. We're neighbors." And so they found out there was a big distance in between them, and so somebody said, "Well, call Pastor Tino. He'll figure out a way to make it happen for you." That's exactly what they said. So they called and they're like, "Well, we're going to be here. You know, we're going to be doing worship. We like to come in. Can we sleep?" And they said, "Oh, well, they slept up on the balcony over there. Some of the guys, they had air beds, and some of them were over in that big area over there. And they put some of the ladies over there." And I said, "Well, how many are coming? How many do we need to make?" "There's 80 of us. 80 people from Australia." I remember sending Ed to pick him up at Dulles Airport, which I love to go to. That was a little joke for everybody that lives here. Take you 5 hours to get to Dulles Airport. So I sent Ed, praise God. He took the bus, loaded him up, some minivans, and obviously they came, praise God, they came in like 10 o'clock at night, but they hadn't eaten in I don't know how long from their last leg of the flight. So they said, "Let's pull in the McDonald's." And they supersized everything. They never saw anything so big in their life. Supersized to them was this big, but for us, you know, it's like this. And they couldn't believe it. But on that, you know, some of those little things that happen. I have a hat in my office. It's one of the Aussie hats from trying to remember the brigade, they call them, the brigade. But it was incredible because every day, all they wanted to do was come in here. They didn't go out. They just came in at 9 in the morning, and they had worship, and they did prayer, and they did Bible study. They did a little teaching from 9 to 11 or 12. And then they would come back at 7 o'clock and do the same thing. And they were just preparing their hearts for the opportunity to go and worship. But they did our Wednesday night. And then we said, "Let's do Friday." And this place was pretty full on that Friday evening. And during that service, I'll never forget, there was something that happened between my wife and I when they prayed for us. It was more for us than for anything else, I believe. I received, and as much as God used that and did things in there, and just there was something that we just felt the power of God come over us and just minister to us. And it was a life-changing experience. Am I right? We were never the same. And I share that with you because of a couple of things that I want you to understand. I really believe this divine appointment with, I believe every Sunday and every event and Reverend Fred Felton coming for that weekend and the retreats or whatever's happening, they're impactful. But the weekend that we're going to do a teaching on the Holy Spirit and the working and the move and the instruction and the knowledge and what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. That weekend, if you don't change your schedule now, you're going to miss something that could be transformational in your life. I believe that with all my heart. Open your heart up. Change your schedule. Be part of that. And that we what we've done with these equipping conferences, we usually charge like $10. You say, well, shouldn't it be free? Well, we do that because there are expenses and there's other churches that are coming, and we try to provide a little bit of this and that to make it a special event. But if you sign up and get connected in the this week or next week, there's no charge for our people. But you need to commit to it. And then I was talking to Reverend Tim Yenlow, and we were sharing, because we're going to do Friday night, there'll be two sessions. Saturday morning, we'll have worship, and then Sunday morning, we'll have the 9:45 will be in here, the 10:45 service. But he said, you know, I really want to do on Sunday night, after this kind of all comes together, he felt like he wants to just have a healing service. And so we're going to just pray, and we're going to believe God to do some things supernaturally and heal people completely and yield to the authority of the Holy Spirit. I believe that it's going to be a transformational weekend, and I believe it'll happen if you'll change your schedule. I heard one amen and two hand claps. I already know the people clapping their hands have changed their schedule. Well, you don't know. Listen, if you've been already assigned to go out of work, I'm going to pray that God will change that for you. Hallelujah. I'm just saying, these things are so vital, and I've seen it happen in my life over the years. And when you have these opportunities, you want to take advantage of them in the name of Jesus. Amen? And so I want to just touch, and I want to get through some of this, and then we're going to give you an opportunity. And some of those that are leaders, if you know, there's things like, if you want to be part of the prayer team or prayer ministry or prayer chain, you know, you can see Reverend Yemi and she'll talk with you and give you some instruction. You want to be part of hospitality or on just being like greeters and making things special for our first-time guests, or when we have a special event like the Holy Spirit Conference. Or if you want to be involved with visitation, and what we try to do is connect with people. We like that we want to be able to, as people come to the church, we want people to make a phone call. It's great if I do it, but it's great if you do it also. It makes it so much more impactful. Amen? There's things like the nursing home ministry. We mentioned that before, about people who can go to the nursing home and visit people who are shut in or who haven't been out because of transportation or because of sickness or because of, you know, something they're going through. But being able to go there and minister and just praying with them or bringing communion to them. There's people who do things here who've been such a blessing that I don't even want to mention their name because they don't want their name to be heard. But they love the Lord and they feel as, you know, I've got the time. I want to do something for God in that time and I want to make my time useful. Some would come in and they would just stuff the pews with the name cards and with the tithing envelopes. Or they'd come in and they'll just vacuum once a week. They'll come in and they vacuum the whole thing for us. They don't do it to get paid. They don't get it. Do it because I'm going to call them out or make their name known. They do it because they love the Lord. They do it because they want to do something for the kingdom of God. And so these opportunities are there for you. And so we said, if you want to serve the Lord, you have to be, everybody say the A word, available. A couple of hindrances that you'll have to deal with, and I'm just going to give you the information. The hindrance to being that will hinder you from being available, one is self-centeredness. You got to deal with it. You got to put God first. Number two is perfectionism, or being, you know, you want it to be done perfectly, or I need all this to be in order. Well, I don't know if everything ever gets in order completely in order to get something done. Fix what you can. Fix what you can. Make something better that you can. Hello? And the third thing is materialism. Materialism, meaning God's not first. The world's first. Money's first. Job's first. So you've got to make some of those changes. So today I wanted to just touch, and I'll go quickly, and that is number two, you need to be, it's the G world. The G word, is that there? Can I have the G word? I'll throw it at a Ravens fan again. Now I've really got a ball to throw out. Who can catch? Can you catch? Well, you got to stand up. You want to be a receiver. The G world. All right. Put them on. Sign them up. The Redskins need them. Yeah. the word is this, is grateful. Grateful. You know, grateful is an attitude. You ever notice that? It really, it's an attitude of expression. Gratefulness. You can tell immediately if somebody's grateful or thankful for something somebody's done. One of the things Dr. Mark Muirhead and I talk about a lot is that this generation does not know how to express themselves when it comes to manners. Yeah, it really, I heard of I don't know if we should clap about it, but you understand it. But when it comes to people, they can walk right by you and not say anything sometimes. They can you can give them something or do something for them, and it's almost an attitude of entitlement that says that I you know, if I don't get paid for it, I'm not going to do it. But there is a lot of young people who will do things because they're passionate about something, and they'll do it for free. So it's kind of an up and down battle but in general, when it comes to being grateful, you know, you understand what somebody else sacrificed or did for you and why you want to do so. Gratefulness says, I want to do something back because you've done so much for me. The Bible says that God's loving kindness towards us is always there. He's always demonstrating His love and His kindness towards us, that we should always do the same in return. If we're supposed to be like Christ, if we're supposed to act like Him, and what He's done in us is that where He just shows kindness and lovingness all the time, even without expecting anything in return, we should automatically do it because of grateful heart. Hello? Gratefulness is an attitude that needs to be within all of us. We need to understand that things are going to attack our grateful spirit or our attitude. How I know that gratefulness is a problem within the human race, it's a problem within the church, it's a problem in our society, because back in the scripture, the Bible talks about 10 men who had leprosy. Did you remember that? That he said, when you need to understand, with leprosy, you were an outcast. You were not allowed to even come into the camp. You were not allowed to eat like everybody else. You're not allowed to do things that everybody else did. And when you came into being, you need to cry out, I'm sick. I'm not healthy. I'm not able. You don't want to be near me. Get away from me. It was a constant emotional outcast and separation and division. And movement and fear that will come across people, that you and I need to understand that you were not allowed to have anything and you needed to live with other people of the same likeness. It created an atmosphere that just said, stay there until you die. It created an attitude that said, don't even try because you're going to die anyway. Does anybody understand or feel what I'm saying? And here, 10 men are filled with it. They're journeying somewhere, and they come across the path of Jesus. They come across the path of the Almighty One. And He looks at them, and He makes them. The Bible is very clear that He makes them whole, meaning their skin changed. It all of a sudden, that which was falling off of them, and you know, with leprosy and the power of it, and the nerve endings are burned, and fingers would fall off, and things would begin to disappear. I don't know how deep and how far along, but they were so outcast that maybe their hands grew back. Maybe their skin texture became as soft as a baby's bottom. I saw this little baby. Did you take that baby out already? I was kissing that baby before church and holding on. You know, babies, everybody want baby skin, right? I was looking myself in the mirror and I was saying, I need to go get some retinol or something and put it on my eyes and get my face all looking smooth again. Hello. I know you. You got more creams and lotions than anybody else in the world. I know that by him. You go buy that little gel you put in your hair to make it grow and stay, and Hello? You know what I'm talking about, right? But I believe that when Jesus gave them new skin, I believe it was soft. It was amazing. And I believe the healing was so powerful that everybody knew they were no longer an outcast, that they were no longer separated, that the skin was made whole. A miracle took place. And the Bible is very clear, as it stated, that they continued on their journey. And you know how I know that that same spirit dwells in the church today and in life today? Because it says only one turned around and came back and thanked the Lord. How many times when you get something, we try to teach our children, when you receive something, send a thank you card. Send a call. Call them immediately. Not later, you do it now. Why? It's a practice. You know, there's so many times. Listen, if you're going to serve the Lord, you want to make a difference. If you are not grateful for the life that you have, if you're not grateful that you're not going to hell, if you're not grateful that you are healthy, that you are strong, that you got breath in you, then there's something wrong with your heart. There has to be. I have a couple of friends over the years who have helped me out over my life, miraculously. And if they called me right now and they said, Tino, can you do this? I'm gone first thing tomorrow morning and I'm going to go help them. Why? Because I owe them so much I can't repay. One of the things I'll never forget, when I had a walk everywhere. I've shared this story. I had a walk everywhere. I had no car. I had nobody to co-sign for me. I had no, you know, now that you need everything. I was in a new job. I was borrowing vehicles. I was doing everything possible. But I thank God for my feet. But I finally, my cousin said she'd co-sign for me. She had been working in a hospital for about a year. I mean, my family, my mother couldn't do it. There was nobody. How many people over out here would co-sign for me? I want to just see, okay? 1, 2, 3. All right. How many are you going to go co-sign for your brother or your sister or your uncle? Some of you, you know, they might tell you they're going to make that payment, but you're going to be stuck with everything that comes with it, right? When it comes to co-signing, you're always a little hesitant. But not only that, I had to come up with so much cash. Now, you need to understand, when I was working at that time, I got paid every week from Cintas, a uniform company, and each paycheck, one had enough to cover the rent, one had enough to cover my car insurance, which was more than the car payment, and one had enough to cover the car payment, and then I had 1 week left that I got to spend on the other little bills and try to help take care of the needs of a girlfriend that I had at the time. And they had this little thing when I worked there. They had this rack that if you filled up that rack with used hangers, because it was a uniform company, you got $2 per rack. And I can remember trying to bring in a rack or two every, I was going through as fast as I could, grabbing hangers and staggering so that I can get an extra $20 or $30 at the end of the month that was so helpful. But here I finally had the opportunity and I was pulling every bit of cash. I mean, Sherry wasn't too sure if she was going to lend me money at that time, because we weren't married just yet, and I mean, I was pulling this from here, and I was doing a little side job over here, and I think I was probably $100 short. No, it was like less than maybe $75 short. And I'll never forget my mother-in-law just going through everything she had. She had an old purse she was taking change out of, because she wanted to make sure I had a car, not to drive her daughter around, that she didn't have to walk anymore, but that she'd have a car to get into that was operable. It didn't have air conditioning, but at least it was an operable car. But my mother-in-law did everything possible to put some money in my pocket so that I can come back, so I didn't have to worry about getting that car back here. And so if she needs me to carry her to her bedroom, I have no problem. I don't need a dime for it. Why? Because she did everything possible she could for me. It was, all right, maybe it was only one thing. Well, she did feed me a couple of times. And she did let me sleep in her guest room a couple of times. But she was the type of person that impacted you enough that it was just the one thing that she did when you were in a, come on, think about it, when you were in a desperate moment and one person did that one thing for you, right? You never forgot it. How can we forget what the Lord has done for you and I? He's saying, listen, God has done so much for you. You teaching another, if he's asking you to teach a Sunday school class, or he's asking you to give up your Wednesday so you can help some young men and some young ladies impact their lives, or to come and be part of prayer or worship, or enhance the choir, or enhance the worship team, or help out there with sound, or help with video. There's so many little things. I'll tell you, you come to me and I'll find something for you to do. If you polish shoes, let you polish Sam's shoes here. I don't know. We'll find something for you to do. But it takes. Now I gotta just. I want to just share this with you, because here's what you need to understand when it comes to. There's barriers to gratefulness. Number one barrier is comparing and criticizing. Comparing and criticizing. Romans 14:4 says, who are you to criticize someone else's servant? The Lord will determine whether his servant has been successful. You know what? The Lord will position you. The Lord will place you. You've got to be careful not to compare yourself or criticize somebody else's ministry, somebody else's servanthood. What do you mean? Well, come on, you're good at. Well, why are they doing it? How come that person's in that place? How come? Well, maybe because they're available and they show up all the time and they're grateful and they're willing. Let's use them. Believe me, I always have a tendency to use the people with the right. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't like putting up with attitude. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can have somebody that's gifted in every which way. They can have the ability. They may be able to handle Wall Street. They may be able to do something. But if they got an attitude, you don't even want to deal with that anymore. Hello? You don't even be around them. But what he's saying is, when you get a critical spirit, when you get somebody that's comparing all the time, we know what that means? They're putting themselves up to a level that says, I'm better than you and better than them, and I know best. Well, when you do that with those around you, what you're saying to God is, I know better than you, God. Because God has a reason, and God has an ability, and I've seen God use the most simplest people in the world to bring revival, to bring change, to touch lives. Hello? Isn't that what David's father and David's brothers began to say about him when Samuel came in and anointed him to be king? Isn't there somebody better? Wouldn't you rather use this guy over here because he's tall and handsome? Wouldn't you rather use this one? He's great with this. No, what? God is going to look on the heart. And when there's a heart of gratitude, amazing things can happen in your life. Number two barrier is wrong motives. What do I mean by that? Well, am I going to get paid to do this job? How many people want to get paid to do it? Raise your hand. Oh, good. Praise God. You're all good volunteers. Wrong motives. Wrong motives. If you're doing it because you want somebody to see you doing it, if you're showing up at certain, there's some people who only show up and do certain things when they're going to be seen in the highlight. The limelight, whatever you want to call it, right? The highlighter is going across their name. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. It could be in your workplace. It could be in your family. They want all the credit. You know, this was my idea. I was the one that did this. I was the one that, look, I can come up with a ton of it. I don't care if I don't receive any credit. As long as God is glorified and the ministry is exalted and his name is lifted up, that's what matters. Motives is so important. And if you're a person that moves based on who's going to see you do it, that there's something wrong with your heart, because it's not a grateful heart. That's the truth. If you're somebody that's looking that you've got to be seen, you got to be the one that's recognized, you got to be the one, or I got to get paid for it, guess what? Sometimes payday is better on the other side. I always tell people, you just start doing it for God, and God will begin to start doing and opening doors like you've never seen before. I was reading a book, and I think this person might be saved, but they were in the business realm. And it was about a grateful spirit, and their life was miserable. Everything was falling apart, and people owed him money, and they were going, his business was going bankrupt. He was a lawyer, matter of fact, and he said, I just felt like I needed to do something different. And he said, I started writing notes of gratitude every day to somebody. He said, the first one I wrote to was my son. And it changed the relationship. My son was in this place where his life was so busy. He was in his late 20s. And all of a sudden, his son started calling him and wanting to go to dinner with him. But then he was owed by one company like $170,000 or $60,000 for some work that he had done for them. But he was not getting paid. And he said, you know, instead of complaining, instead of getting on the phone and saying you and demanding, he, you know what he did? He said, I wrote a note of thankfulness for allowing him to choose my business. And he wrote that note, and I just was so encouraged to hear this. He said, all of a sudden, a month later, he started seeing the bills start, he started seeing payment come more regularly to get caught up. And all of a sudden, other clients started calling him. And so he happened to be at this place that he sent the thank you note for, and he saw his note on the board in the chief officer's office. And he said the note of thankfulness. And he said nobody has ever sent us a note of thankfulness or gratitude for choosing us or allowing us. And he said I try to make sure you're the first one paid every month. It changed. And then he said they start sending him clients. He said it changed my whole business. And so I just want to tell you, the attitude of gratefulness rules the heart. And it needs to rule the heart of us as individuals. Because if you are born again, believer in Christ, you must serve the Lord. Because if you are grateful, if you are thankful, if you love the Lord, if he's done something amazing for you, it says, listen, I want to do everything I can to make a difference for my God. If that's you, stand to your feet. Come on. Hallelujah. 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 I'm saying, where's your heart today? I believe the Lord's speaking to some of us about changing our schedule, about being available, about understanding that if you're grateful, if you're thankful, if your heart is open to Almighty God and he's done something miraculous for you, then you need to realize, look, I want to make a difference for the kingdom. I want to be used for God, because that is the least that we can do. At least is make ourselves serve, is be a servant for the kingdom of God. I'm still looking for people who say, Pastor, I'll do anything. I'm looking for that. Pastor, I'm willing to do anything you need me to do. Give me 10 people like that. 10 people. Are you one? Bethany, are you coming down here to be one of the 10? She came walking down. I'm still waiting for 10 people, 12 people. I don't see a hand going up. I don't see anybody coming down. You're not sure. What's he doing? I'm not being funny. I'm not being... Hey, don't look over there. You look this way. Seriously, it's not about them. It's about you and God. I'm serious. I'm looking for somebody that says, I'll do anything. I think every one of us should be down here. I really do. I think every one of us, you know what? I learned one thing. My mother could make me do certain things because I had to do it. And then there's another way that says, you know what? I want to do it. Because I've got what God has done in my life. I really believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to some of you that says, you know what? I'll do whatever it takes. I'm And what I need you to do next, and that goes for everybody if you're not even here, and that is this, that when you fill out your getting the game card, everyone should do it. Put some information there. We want to have somebody from the office call you and just talk with you. And they might say, can you come on a Thursday and pick up food? Or can you come on a Wednesday and help the ladies with missionettes or the girls only ministry or boys ministry? Or can you help in the nursery? Man, we need nursery workers. We need people to help with the babies. Guess what? You don't have to do it every Sunday. If we get enough people, we can do it once a month. Hello? Hello? Somebody say hallelujah. Something will change. Some of you are still not sure. Pastor, I'm already doing something. I'm afraid. What are you going to have me do? I've been known to have people do some of the craziest things because it could be cleaning, it could be moving, it could be... they always know one thing. When Seaford sees me coming, he's going over to that other area. He's going to go on lunch break. No, I'm only teasing, but he knows. Don't I always find something, Seaford? Seaford, do I always find something? There's always something to make it better. Okay, now... Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Who say, Pastor, I want to surrender. I want to be used by God. Some of you that are helping lead some of these ministries, if you'll be out in the foyer talking with these folks. Next week, we're going to do the same thing a little bit more, but I'm going to give you some apt time to be out there. Father, we thank you. Father, we are grateful. We're not worthy, but you made us worthy. We were dead and you made us alive. And Lord, I pray that we would be like the one that came back. The one that came back and said thank you to the Lord for saving me and changing me and giving me life. And Father, today we commit ourselves to you, to your kingdom, to your work, to make a difference. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. And everybody said, now the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And the Lord give you peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. You have one of these red shirts? No, you have a shirt? I want to give you a shirt. You have a Red Trinity shirt? If you don't have one already, I want to give you one. If you came up here, you earned a shirt today, all right? Here, brother. Here, Sam. God bless you. Go ahead, Annette, yes. Would you lead us?
Lord, yes, to your will and to your way.